I want you to imagine that you're traveling home from work or school when you see a man sitting maybe in your vicinity staring at his newspaper. You follow his gaze to the headline, which reads, "Lethal asteroid strike, 48 hours to live." How would you respond upon seeing a headline like that? Now, if I was in that situation, I'd probably want to check out the news and to find out whether or not that headline was accurate. Is the Earth truly going to be destroyed by a large asteroid? Need to work out if that's true or not. But just say it was true. If you only had 48 hours to live, how would you spend your final 48 hours? You'd want to get ready, I think, for death, but as you're doing that, I think you'd probably want to say goodbye to your family and friends, but also it would be important to think about your relationship with God. If you're about to meet your Maker, and you know it's about to happen, then you need to make sure that your relationship with him is okay. In Jonah chapter 3, we see the word of the Lord coming to Jonah a second time. God's command to Jonah in chapter 3, verse 2, it starts in identical fashion to the original command given to Jonah back in chapter 1, verse 2. God told Jonah to get up and go to Nineveh, the great city, and to call out against it. Back in chapter 1, God explicitly tells Jonah to call out about the evil that the people of Nineveh had committed, which had come to God's attention. But here in chapter 3, we see God withholding the content of what Jonah was to cry out against Nineveh. And I assume that God was going to tell him later on what he should proclaim to the Ninevites after he had arrived at Nineveh. Now this time, Jonah actually obeyed God's command. We don't see him here going the opposite direction. I think he's probably learnt his lesson. We're told in verse 3 that he went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. So the text is making it explicit here that Jonah is being obedient. Instead of trying to run away from God, well, he's learnt that that's useless. So he concludes that the best option is obedience. And that's always the case, isn't it? When it comes to God, the best option is to listen to his word and to seek to put it into practice. So Jonah obeys God and he arrives in Nineveh. And we're told in verse 3 that Nineveh was an extremely large city. And we do know from archaeological research that Nineveh was indeed a large city for how cities were back in those days. The city, enclosed by its walls, was roughly rectangular in shape. The lengths of the city walls were around 2 kilometres, then 5 kilometres, another 1 kilometre and 5 kilometres, giving the city an area of about 8 square kilometres inside the walls. There's also strong evidence of settlement occurring outside the city walls as well. The walls, from what the archaeologists have been able to find out, included 15 monumental gates, and inside the city were magnificent temples and a royal palace. So Nineveh was definitely a very large city in the time frame of the 8th century BC back then, when Jonah was there. And the size of the city is significant in the book of Jonah as well. 3 times the city of Nineveh is described as being great or large. And here in chapter 3, verse 3, we also learn that it took around 3 days for a person to walk through the city. We should also pay attention to how the city is described in this verse, because literally it says that Nineveh was a great city to God. But most translations just translate that as Nineveh was a very large city. They take the expression, which is literally to God or in the sight of God, as having the effect of an adverbial intensifier, meaning something like very or extremely. A bit like saying it was an almighty large city. Now, I think that it's reasonable to translate the expression a great city to God as a very large city, or more colloquially, as an almighty great city. But at the same time, we should be aware that the three times in the book of Jonah when Nineveh is described as being large or great, it's always God who describes it that way. It's also clear from Jonah chapter 4, verse 11, that the 120,000 people who lived in Nineveh and the large number of animals that were in the city of Nineveh were a cause of concern to God. And from God's perspective, he sees the large number of people there, the large number of animals, and that's one of the reasons why he concludes that this is a great city. It's a large city. Lots of people there. Life is concentrated there. And so therefore, we can see that Nineveh was almighty big, not just from the human perspective, but also from God's perspective. Its large human and animal population meant that God was rightfully concerned about the fate of the city. It also meant that God was eager to show mercy to the Ninevites on the condition of their repentance. After all, weren't all of those people and all of the animals that lived in Nineveh there creatures that God had created? God is concerned for all of the creatures that he has made to inhabit our world. And wherever human and animal life is congregated, God is particularly concerned about such locations. Now, verse 4 records Jonah's preaching in the city. He had only gone a day's journey into the city, proclaiming the message of judgment. The city was going to be destroyed in the space of 40 days. Once again, how would you react if you knew that your life was about to come to an end in a short space of time? If you were given just 40 days to live, how would you spend your time and what would you do? Now, what we see from the Ninevites is quite interesting. We see a comprehensive, positive reaction on their part. We see them turning away from evil in the hope that God would spare them. What we see from them, basically, is a model of repentance. And it's interesting that Jonah hadn't gone through the whole of the city when the people of the city there start to react. He'd travelled just one day. He hadn't gone through all of the city yet. But as he went preaching the word of God, we see the people of the city already beginning to respond. It seems like they're keen to listen and react in the right way. We're told in verse 5 that the people of Nineveh believed in God. They accepted Jonah's message as being the truth from God. And in response, they called a fast and put on sackcloth as a sign of mourning over their sins. The sackcloth, a bit like wearing a Hessian bag, something like that. And we see here that it was a comprehensive repentance on their part. It involved the whole of the city. We're told in verse 5 that from the greatest of them to the least of them, all of the inhabitants of Nineveh participated in this fast of repentance. But not only the people of the city, we also see someone else repenting as well in verses 6 to 9. Does anyone remember who that was? It was the king. The king of Assyria himself, who was resident in Nineveh at the time. We see how he responded when the word of judgment that Jonah was preaching reached the palace and when the king found out about the response of the people to Jonah's preaching. Now you might think that a proud king would reject the words of warning from a foreign prophet. Now think about Pharaoh when Moses came to him. How did Pharaoh respond? This proud king of a proud nation, he rejected the words of Moses and refused to let the Israelites leave Egypt. The typical response would have been for the king of Assyria to react as Pharaoh did. We need to recall here that the king of Assyria wasn't any ordinary king. He was the powerful king of a growing empire. But here we see him responding positively to Jonah's message. The king got up from his throne, took off his royal robes, and joined in with his people wearing sackcloth and sitting in ashes as a sign of his repentance. He also issued a binding decree, the content of which read as follows: "Let neither human nor beast, neither cattle nor sheep taste anything. Let them not eat or drink, but let both human and beast be covered with sackcloth, and let them call out to God strongly, and let everyone turn away from his evil way and the violence that is in his hands." Do you see what the king is doing here? It's quite remarkable, really. This foreign prophet has just turned up in his city, and yet here we see the king responding to the words of that prophet. The king issues a decree that everyone, not just the people of the city, but also all of the animals in the city, everyone in that city needed to express their sorrow to God for their wicked behavior. And the king did this in the hope that as the people turned away from their evil, God might turn away from his intention to destroy the city, to turn away from his burning anger and to have pity on them so that they might not perish. What we have here in chapter 3 is a picture of a comprehensive repentance involving the whole of the Ninevite society. We've got the king, we've got the nobles, we've got the rich, the poor, and even the animals. Nineveh is a model of repentance. And so much so that Nineveh became famous for its repentance. When Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees and Jewish scribes one day, these people who opposed him, Jesus pointed to the people of Nineveh as exemplifying the kind of repentance that God requires. The people of Nineveh show the proper response whenever the word of God comes to us and challenges us. And Jesus said to his opponents on that occasion, "The men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, someone greater than Jonah is here." Jonah was just an ordinary prophet, and we could perhaps say not a very good one at that. Just an ordinary prophet who had his struggles. Compare him to Jesus. Well, Jesus was a prophet too, but more than just a prophet. Jesus is the Word of God personified. He's the Son of God who was fully obedient to his Father in heaven. So there's differences between Jonah and Jesus there, but they had one thing in common. They both proclaimed the Word of God. And whenever the Word of God is proclaimed, God expects that we respond in the proper way. So what is that response? Well, we have a nice, neat summary here in Jonah 3 of what our response should be whenever God's word comes to us. When God's word comes to us, we need to do what the Ninevites did: to believe the message and to act appropriately by turning away from evil and depending on God for the forgiveness of our sins. Now, what does it mean to believe? Well, to believe God's word simply means to accept God's word. It means to accept the truth of what God is saying to us. We're saying, yes, what you're saying there, God, is what I accept. It's what I believe. And to repent simply means to turn around. Instead of going down the pathway of sin and our own desires, we turn around now to follow God and the way of life spelt out in his word. So believing and repenting basically means accepting and following God's word. That's how we need to respond whenever God's word comes to us. Now, as we speak God's word here at church in the activities that we do, we don't just do these things for the fun of it. At the heart of everything we do here is the word of God. Because we believe that it's not only the word of God that created life back in the beginning when this universe was made, but it's the word of God in our hearts that also makes us live eternally. And as we're involved in our activities, and as the word of God is made known through our activities, the question is for each one of us, what are we doing with that? Are we accepting the word of God and seeking to put it into practice? That needs to be the response, because that is the response that God is looking for. Friends, we can see through Jonah chapter 3 here that repentance is very important. Think about what happens in heaven when people repent. How did God respond when the people of Nineveh repented? Well, have a look in verse 10. We can see, it says, that God saw their deeds, he saw their repentance, that they had turned away from their evil way, and God felt sorry about the punishment that he had intended to give them. And so he decided not to go through with that punishment. Here we can see that God doesn't like the destruction of the wicked. Sure, if the wicked continue on their wicked way, God will one day have to deal with them. But it's not his preferred option. God doesn't desire that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance, which means turning away from the sinful way of the world to turn back to God and to live following the teaching of his word. God is prepared to turn from punishment. He is prepared and willing to turn away from his intended destruction of the wicked if we turn from sin and turn to him. Friends, that message was summarized by Jesus himself when he came into the world. Jesus was fond of saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand."